Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Ewan Downey, CEO of i80 Gold Corp, traded on the TSX under the ticker IAU and on the NYSE under the ticker IAUX. And Ewan, it's always great getting you on the show to get an update on i80 Gold Corp. I should say at the onset that I am a shareholder, so I'm probably biased, but we think you have a great story, not just for exploration, but for development and then growing into a producing gold company, as well as base metals. So a lot of the action in i80 Gold over the last, say, 6 months has been the excitement, Ewan, about what you're finding at Ruby Hill, that CRD mineralization. That seems to be on top of a lot of people's mind in Nevada. There's a couple other projects that are of note that are also hitting CRD-type deposits. And everybody remembers the success of Arizona Mining when they were bought out by South 32. For a large takeover. So everybody sees that, Ewan, and is like, okay, give me more drill results from Ruby Hill. What can you tell us about overall what your team has started finding at Ruby Hill and the drill plans on slate for 2023?
Ruby Hill has truly ramped up to become our company's flagship asset. We acquired it primarily for the Carlin-type gold deposit that occurs below the Archimedes pit. But we also we're cognizant of the fact that the Eureka District, where Ruby Hill is one of the highest grade CRD districts you'll find anywhere in the world. And over the last 50 or 60 years, very little had been done looking at the CRD mineralization. So the first half of last year's drill program was aimed primarily at upgrading the resources of the Ruby Deeps deposit, which is a refractory underground high-grade gold deposit, which we were very successful in achieving. And mid-year, we set out to look at some of the exploration targets on the property. And several of those top-tier targets were CRD targets, not just gold. And immediately, we made new discoveries. It led to our stock being one of the best-performing developer stocks in the market last year. And this year, we've ramped up to 5 drills targeting that mineralization. So we have a very significant drill program ongoing this year, which should lead to significant results coming out during the year as we hope to continue the success we garnered in 2022.
Well, and Ewan, this also ties into why the company has made a key transformative acquisition just recently, and the board has supported it on February the 27th. You noted you are going to be taking over Paycore Minerals. Now, Paycore Minerals has some adjacent land to that Ruby Hill deposit, their FAD deposit, FAD. And I'd love you to talk about the synergies here between Paycore Minerals property, the FAD property, and Ruby Hill, and why this acquisition is so transformative for both companies.
Well, we were a shareholder of Paycore prior to our agreement to acquire the company, and the acquisition is yet to close. It's going through the regulatory bodies and all the legal stuff, shareholder vote, et cetera. But the FAD deposit is another carbonate replacement deposit, or CRD deposit, sitting immediately south, about 2 kilometers from where we're drilling at Ruby Hill. And they had a very successful 2022 drill program as well. And we just believe that by combining the two, the resource base becomes more significant, more economic. And we believe combined, it creates a world-class polymetallic, which is gold, silver, and base metal development opportunity. For the Paycore shareholders, the property is situated immediately south, adjoining our property. And for them to move their project forward into a mining scenario, I think there's a lot of synergies between the two properties because we have the permitted mine infrastructure sitting on our property. Whereas if they were going to do that, it would likely take 5-10 years to get permits for that type of development. So by teaming up with us, it really fast tracks the ability of the FAD deposit to become a production asset. And I think both parties believe that combining Ruby Hill with the FAD property was the right thing to do.
Yeah, Ewan, and you make such a solid point that I think is overlooked often in the marketplace about the value of having already permitted assets. And that's not just true for the Ruby Hill processing center you have, but also the Lone Tree processing center. And just all the sunk cost and permitting and time and community relations and all of the things, the environmental statements that go into getting those permits in the first place. So maybe just in a broad sense, could you speak to the value of the two processing centers you have, Lone Tree being the large one, but also the Ruby Hill, just having those permitted processing areas, what kind of a value that is to the company?
It's, you know, obviously it's very significant value. The Lone Tree site includes an autoclave, a flotation circuit, a tailings pond, all the electrical roads are built there, all of the infrastructure you need for a long-term processing site are existing there. And permitting an autoclave or a roaster is something environmentally that will be more and more challenging in the future. So our securing that site was really key to our future of our company. And over the next 5 years, combined with the Ruby Hill processing site, we expect to start up both processing facilities. And over the next 5 years, we expect to see very significant growth in our production profile, upwards of getting to what we hope is 400,000 to 500,000 ounces per year in 5 years from only 20 last year. But the value of that infrastructure is significant. Not only does it save significant time, given that it's already permitted, but also, like I said, all the roads, the electricity, the buildings are all up. And to replace that site would be well over $1 billion today. And that's significantly more than our market cap, never mind the fact that we have very significant gold, silver, and base metal resources being drilled out. The Ruby Hill plant is also a significant permitted infrastructure site that we are looking at sequencing with the autoclave facility. So we're not planning on building both at once. We're either going to start the Ruby Hill plant or the Lone Tree plant and then use cash flow to build the second one is the plan for our development. But the Ruby Hill plant, to build it today, would probably be in the range of $250 million or $250 million. So I'd say we have close to $1.5 billion in existing infrastructure that we won't have to fund going forward. So it does give us a big advantage of being able to grow our projects on an expedited basis compared to many other projects throughout North America.
Yeah, Ewan, I find that such an interesting value driver for the company, because if you think about having $1.5 billion worth of sunk cost and assets sitting there already, that does underpin your market cap. So I guess you get the 14 million ounces of gold for free and the ounces you have of silver in addition to that, that you have all this additional upside and mineral wealth in the ground that's really not being valued at all in your market cap currently.
Yeah, definitely. That's our belief, is that we had two strong years. So both 21 and 22, our shares had good performance, especially versus our peer group in two difficult market years. This year, we did take a bit of a haircut in the first half of this year, mostly around rumors about Equinox needing to sell some of our stock. Equinox is our largest shareholder, which they announced a couple of weeks ago. And I think with that sale of their shares out of the way, I would expect a significant re-rate here as we continue to build out our production profile and also as we start to release results of the new discoveries and some of the new things we've been doing this year. It's a very exciting year with the drill bit, and we're expecting to have very significant results coming out starting very shortly.
Well, Ewan, we're going to get into some of the exploration that you have on tap for this year. But really quickly, I'd like to just jump back to last year, because you did just put out on March 14th your full year 2022 operation results, including Q4. And a lot of different data points there people can dig through. We will put a link down below this interview for people to jump over to the i80 news section. But just the key takeaways that you'd like to highlight for people as far as your 2022 overall year of development and operations. It's more development focused at this stage than the production focus, but just give us the quick bullet points of the main takeaways you want people to have from last year's operations.
In 2022, the majority of the ounces we produced were from residual leach projects. So the leach pads at Lone Tree and at Ruby Hill are still producing gold from the past operations. So the Ruby Hill open pit stopped mining in the very early months of 2022. So most of our production last year was from that residual leaching. We expect to get a little more production from those leach pads this year. We wind those down. But this year, we expect to start to see an increase in our actual mining production. So the Granite Creek project in 2022 was subject to a substantial surface and underground exploration program. We re-engineered the planned stoping based on that drilling. We're putting together a new resource that is expected to be released here shortly. We delineated the South Pacific Zone discovery, which is a high grade, expect to be greater than 10 grams per ton, new gold deposit there. And in 2022 and into 23 this year, a lot of the work we're doing is putting in the development for future mining. So we're putting in multiple levels. Right now, we're putting in the fourth level on the OG zone. We're expecting to put one more level in this in the first half of this year, which would make five levels that we'll have access to mining. And from that fifth level, we're expecting to drift over to the South Pacific zone with the plan to drill it out from underground and bring it into our mine plan. And ultimately in 2024 is when we expect to see significant production coming out of Granite Creek. So it is a big development year again for that project, but we do expect to see our production ramp up there this year. Throughout the year, it should increase consistently during the year. And we're also doing the underground development at Cove. But Cove, there's no plan to be mining in either 23 or 24. The underground platform is primarily being built so that we can delineate the deposit with underground drilling and then move that project to full feasibility. So this year, again, is a fairly development-heavy year, but we do expect to see our own production really ramp up starting here in the first half of this year.
Well, and Ewan, just remind me, I think we've discussed this in the past, but initially the ore that you'll be pulling out from Granite Creek and when you drift over to that South Pacific zone, that is being trucked over for processing at Nevada Gold Mines Processing Center, correct? And then eventually when you bring Cove on and you have, I guess it's like a toll milling type of agreement with them, eventually you're going to be bringing all that ore as things expand into the Lone Tree Processing Center. And that's really when Cove will come online in 2 years. Is that the general lay of the land, or just walk us through what the development process looks like?
Yeah, Granite Creek is the first one. Last year is a big year in terms, like I said, of underground drilling to better understand and delineate the deposit for mining. We're still putting in the multiple levels so that we can ramp up our mining rates. That ore that is developed and mined from Granite Creek is expected to be processed at Nevada Gold Mines Twin Creeks facility, which is about 5-6 miles up the road from us. We have an interim processing agreement with Nevada Gold Mines whereby they will process our refractory material until such time as we get the Lone Tree site up and running. It's a big help for us. It allows us to build up our mining rates before we start the autoclave, because both ourselves and Nevada Gold Mines are cognizant that these autoclaves, when we start up Lone Tree, you don't want them half full. You don't want to turn them on, turn them off, because they run at high temperature. So you need to be running at basically your full run rate at all times. And to do that, we need to mine Cove, Granite Creek, and Ruby Hill. The Ruby Hill underground has to be developed. So we don't actually expect to start up the autoclave for several years. That interim processing agreement we have allows us to ramp up the operations prior to starting our autoclave instead of building up huge stockpiles in the interim period. So it's really critical for us to get all three sites up and running before we start the autoclave. And that's likely not going to be until 26 at the earliest. But the interim processing agreement that we have with Nevada Gold Mines allows us to ramp up our production, and we expect to increase year over year by using that interim processing agreement prior to starting our autoclave.
Okay, I appreciate you breaking that down. I think that's an important part of the story that has been overlooked with Ruby Hill tunnel vision, Ewan, and rightly so. Ruby Hill is such an exciting prospect and target with the CRD mineralization you've been hitting, but I think it was important to break down what's going on with Granite Creek, with Cove, and the gold portion of Ruby Hill that will all feed into that autoclave when you do get it up and running in a couple of years. But until then, you've got that agreement with Nevada Gold Mines at their Twin Creeks facility. But as far as Ruby Hill and the processing center there, I believe it was originally constructed to process gold. So what would you need to do from a development standpoint to be able to process the CRD type mineralization where you've got lead and zinc in there along with the gold and silver?
We commissioned a study in 2022 that we released in November. That was looking at the plant that is existing there. It is a gold, an oxide gold plant. And the oxide gold plant that we have there, the study that we commissioned looked at starting it as an oxide plant, if we had sufficient oxide to justify starting it, or converting it to a base metal plant. And that conversion would mean taking out certain components and adding other ones, including flotation tanks so that we could float a lead and a zinc concentrate. And the capital cost on that was very reasonable on the estimate that was released. DRA is continuing to do work on that conversion to a base metal plant this year. And we expect to come out with a more comprehensive plan of what we're planning to do with the polymetallics here in the second half of this year, as we continue to hopefully grow our resources here and advance the permitting of the Ruby Hill project. The fact that the Ruby Hill plant would be fed by just one deposit, which would be Ruby Hill, it could result in the justification of starting it up before the autoclave. So we're currently looking at how we sequence the startup of the two sites. I think a lot of the market thinks we're planning or we're going full speed ahead with starting the autoclave first, then looking at the polymetallics. But given the success and the grades that we're drilling at Ruby Hill right now, we are considering potentially starting up the Ruby Hill plant first, and then a couple of years following that startup, start up the autoclave facility. And with those two processing facilities up and running, we would expect to become the second largest gold producer in the United States.
Well, that'd be pretty exciting, Ewan. And it does make sense because you still have the processing agreement with Nevada Gold Mines for some of the other gold-rich targets and resources that you have. And you could get the processing center going in Ruby Hill. And that also ties in, again, to the transaction that's still ongoing with Paycor. But if that goes through as planned, that gives you the FAD deposit to also process there. Let's focus at the end here on some of the initiatives for 2023, including exploration. You know how it is, Ewan, the drill junkies are always hungry for more drilling news. So where are you drilling currently, and what is the exploration plan for the balance of this year?
Right now, we're drilling at Granite Creek, Cove, and Ruby Hills. We have three drill programs that are ongoing. The Granite Creek drilling this year is primarily definition drilling. So most of the drilling that we're doing is from underground. It's a lot of the results that will be generated from that program won't be released to the market. But later in the year, once we get the additional development towards the South Pacific zone, we expect that we'll start some step out drilling at depth because the deposit remains wide open at depth. The Cove project, we started drilling in December of 2022 from underground. Cove is a 10.9 gram gold deposit. Carlin type gold deposit that is about 80% of the resources are in inferred. So we're doing a significant, but a 40,000 meter underground drill program throughout 2022 and probably into 2023 to bring all of the resources in the initial mining area up to measured and indicated resource status so that we can complete a feasibility. So we should expect to see a lot of results coming out of that program. Very high grade deposits. So we're expecting there to be a lot of really strong results coming from this drilling. And then the biggest exploration program we have is obviously at Ruby Hill. And right now we've probably drilled 20, 25 holes so far this year. We're yet to press release any. We're expecting the first press release in the coming weeks on those results. And this program will continue likely throughout the year, much like it did last year, assuming we continue to have success, and it will be the largest drill program in our company's repertoire, so to speak, this year. And once the acquisition of Paycor closes, we expect to also complete drilling there during the year. So there will be very significant drilling coming this year. We've already had a teach-in this year about some of the exploration, what we're seeing in exploration at Ruby Hill. In that, we did state that we have discovered additional CRD mineralization. So that's something to look out for, is the results from our new discoveries that we've made this year that complement the ones that we made last year.
All right. So it sounds like you've got drilling going on at three different projects. Of course, the biggest focus being at Ruby Hill, but lots of news on tap on the exploration side. I guess just as we wrap up, Ewan, what are the other main takeaways you'd like investors to get about how i80 is positioned, you know, going into the balance of 2023, heading into next year? What are the key milestones or key things you want people to look out for beyond just the exploration success?
This year, we expect to release two technical studies. So we're expecting to release a combined feasibility study for the underground portion for the OG zone at Granite Creek, combined with a PEA for the South Pacific zone. And when we release that study here in the first half of this year, we also expect to provide an updated resource that will include the ounces from South Pacific. So we're expecting to see a pretty material increase in the underground gold resources at Granite Creek with that upcoming study. We're also completing a preliminary economic assessment and a revised resource estimate for the Ruby Hill underground gold deposit, not the CRD zones, just the gold deposit. So those are two pretty key studies coming out for the company this year with what we expect to be increased and improved resources at both sites. So there will be significant news other than just the exploration that's ongoing. And then as we continue to ramp up at Granite Creek, I would expect that quarter on quarter, you'll see more and more ounces coming into the company from that operation. And that's a pretty big milestone for us to achieve, is getting to full production at Granite Creek. And we expect to achieve that here in 2023.
Okay, so a full year for i80 on all fronts: development, production, exploration. Got a lot of balls in the air and a lot of different initiatives going on. Ewan, it's always great having you on the show, but we'd like to get some more updates from you when some of those drill results come out from Ruby Hill. And then as you put out more quarterly reports and see that gold growth from Granite Creek, love to get you back on for that. So looking forward to our next conversation, and just appreciate you giving everybody an update here on i80 Gold Corp.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you being a shareholder, and hopefully as we continue to deliver on our growth plans and what we expect to be a very significant exploration campaign this year, hopefully you and your listeners will continue to support the company. And this year, hopefully we outperform much like we did last year. A lot of our share performance came in the second half of the year. So I'm anticipating that once we start releasing results, ramping up production, we should see a very strong share performance on the back of that this year. And with the help of the increasing gold price that we're seeing, and as we start to see interest rates roll over, which I expect will begin in the very near future, especially given the banking crisis that's going on, I'm expecting to see gold prices going to all-time highs this year.
Well, looking forward to that, Ewan. And again, thanks for your time. And I think our listeners would be happy if we saw all-time highs in gold. So we'll keep our tabs on that as well. And all the news flow still coming for i80 Gold for the balance of this year. Thanks so much, Ewan.
All right. Thanks for having me on.